It is so very good to see everybody here this morning, the beginning of a new year. I think we do have just a few people that are visiting with us. It is always our hope and desire to make each one of you that are visiting to feel so welcome, that whenever you're here in the Lindell area again, hopefully you will want to come back and worship God together with us again. My sermon this morning begins over in Luke chapter 14 and verse 28. It's a text I'm assuming that you're familiar with. It says, "For which of you intending to build a tower does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Lest after he has laid the foundation is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, 'This man began to build but was not able to finish.'" In the text here, someone is considering building a building. Now, if any of you ever built anything, you know it requires income. If you're going to build a house, it requires income. And so before you even begin the building, you got to sit down and think, okay, can we do this? Can we accomplish this? Do we have what it is going to take to finish the building? And am I willing to give what it is going to take to finish the building? Now, this particular text, I believe, is trying to impress upon us that we need to give consideration to the seriousness of the commitment to become a Christian. Almost every year, I have people coming to me, quite often young people, and they say, "I want to be baptized," or "I'm thinking about becoming a Christian." And anytime anyone says it to me, I rejoice for that individual and I'm happy for them and their family. But what I have to do with everyone, and I did the same thing with my own children, I've done this with many times. We did this last week, by the way, with Lexi Walker. If you look in the bulletin, you'll see that Lexi Walker, some of you may remember her, she obeyed the gospel this past week. But before she obeyed the gospel, she had to be worked with because she needed to understand the magnitude of the commitment that she was becoming involved in. A lot of times, if you've attended the Church of Christ any length of time, you're going to hear the subject of baptism brought up. Good. That's correct. And we are correctly understanding that baptism is for the remission of sins. And that baptism puts you into Christ and in the body of Christ. All these scriptures you're going to hear over and over again, that in order to be saved, you've got to be baptized. And that is correct. That is true. The Bible does indeed teach this. However, sometimes people will get the mentality that baptism is what it's all about. And that baptism is what saves me, so therefore I need to be baptized. And they don't understand the full degree of what is involved in being a Christian. Before you can be baptized, first of all, I got to come to believe. You remember the Ethiopian eunuch? He said, "See, here is water. What hinders me or prevents me from being baptized?" The answer that was given to him is, if you believe with your heart, you may. You have to believe with all your heart that Jesus actually is the Christ, the Son of God. I can remember when my children, I don't want to embarrass them, but I remember when they wanted to be Christians. And I said, "Well, can you tell me what the word Christ means?" And they said, "What? What does it mean, Son of God mean?" "What?" They couldn't even tell me what the word Christ, the Son of God meant. I wouldn't baptize them because they didn't even know what it meant. How can you believe something if you don't know what it means? You see, when we're talking about the Christ, that is the idea that he is the King, the Messiah, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He is at the right hand of God right now. He has all authority and in heaven and on earth. When we talk about the Son of God, we're talking about the virgin birth. That a virgin birth did indeed take place, that Jesus is not the Son of man, he is the Son of God. And as such, he is actually God in the flesh. He died on the cross for our sins because he loved me. He was buried and he rose again the third day. This is the very heart and the very foundation of the faith of a Christian. I'll be quite honest with you. I think it's pretty easy to come to that conclusion from reading the scriptures. If you just accept Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John as being the truth, it's easy to come to a conclusion that Jesus is the Christ. Getting past a little bit of uncomfortableness and fear, it is easy to openly confess that you believe that. And it's even easier to be baptized. And so sometimes people may think, okay, I believe and I'm baptized. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. I believe, I want to be baptized, therefore I'm going to be saved, and that's it. There's a whole lot more to it than that. And that's what the sermon is going to be about this morning. And that is the magnitude of the commitment that is expected of you when you become a Christian. The one word that we use to describe that commitment is repentance. Over in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, on the day of Pentecost, here Peter preaching the first gospel sermon, then Peter said to them, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." I'm warning you to see the verse does not say, "Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins." It says, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins." There's another word in there, and the word is repent. You find the same thing over in the third chapter, verse 19. "Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." If you want your sins blotted out, if you want your sins remitted, an integral key part of becoming a Christian, again, is to repent. And again, in Acts chapter 17 and verse 30, "Truly the times of these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent." In all three of these verses, we see the command, repent. Repentance. Now there is where you need to count the cost. Because this is the degree of commitment that is going to be expected of you if you want to be a Christian. If you are considering obeying the gospel, you need to sit down and count the cost. Do not think in your mind that simply confessing at the front of the building that Jesus is the Christ and being baptized after you've come to have faith, that that is all Christianity is. If that's the way you think of it, you're missing it completely. That is a major part of it, faith, confession, repentance, and baptism. But repentance has to be in there, not just faith, confession, and baptism. Repentance is in there. And repentance is the commitment. Repentance is the cost of you becoming a Christian. So now that we've said that and understand that, let's study from the Scriptures exactly what repentance is, for you to understand the cost. We're going to start over in Romans chapter 12 now, and in verse 1. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 is one of the best Scriptures helping us come to understand what is expected of you in this commitment. It says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of our God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service." Okay, let's take this text and break it down. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice. When you're talking about the commitment and the cost is all of you. All of you, all of your life. Getting married is a pretty big commitment. Now, mothers and fathers, how would you feel if your son or your daughter came in and they were all giggly and he or she said, "Oh, I've met the cutest boy. We're getting married this weekend." You would all go, "Ah!" Why? Because he or she hadn't got a clue of the magnitude of the commitment of what is expected of them in marriage, and they're treating it as though, "Oh, this is going to be fun. There's not going to be anything required of me in this commitment." They don't understand it's a commitment for life till death do us part. Getting married is the second biggest commitment you will ever make in your life. The biggest commitment is when you become a Christian. Because when you become a Christian, you are expected to give your entire life over as a living sacrifice to God, to where in your life now you're striving to live a life of holiness, which is acceptable to God. And he says, "This is your reasonable service." I thank you so much, Shane, for leading the song. That was a perfect song for the sermon. I'm going to go back and read the song we just read to you. "Live for Jesus," from 335. "Live for Jesus, O my brother, his disciple ever be. Render not to any other what alone the Lord should be. Live for Jesus. Live for Jesus. Give him all thou hast to give. On the cross, the world's Redeemer gave his life that thou mightst live. How much did Jesus give for you? He gave his all. I can't understand the magnitude of leaving heaven and coming down here in the form of a man. He did for me. And then he gave himself to die on the cross for me because he loves me personally. Understand the magnitude of what was given for you. Jesus gave 100% all to the point of death. What he's expecting of you is for you to give all. It is your reasonable service. He gave all. He expects all. Going over to Matthew, chapter 16, 24 to 25. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." Here again, he is describing the magnitude of the sacrifice. We have to deny ourselves to where it's no longer my will that matters. It is the will of the Father. Now, if anyone tells you, "Oh, that's easy," they're lying to you. It is a continual battle to beat down the pride of life, to beat down what it is that I want to do in my life, and let the will of God dominate and control my life. But that's what is expected of us, to deny ourselves, to take up our cross and follow him. And then he talks about if you're someone out there who's wanting to save your life, and you're more concerned about, it's what I want that matters, I'm going to do what I want, then you're going to lose your soul. If you want to have eternal life, notice the last part of the verse, whoever loses his life for my sake. And that is, you're giving it up. You're letting go as a living sacrifice. I'm giving everything connected to me and all of my life over to you for all of my life. In doing so, you will find it. You will find your way to eternal life. Continuing in Luke, chapter 14, 33 says, "So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple." Understand that when you're talking about giving your life, it's everything connected to you. Everything. Your whole life, everyone and everything connected to you is all given over to God. Nothing that you say is going to be mine. There's nothing mine. I am his, all his, and everything connected to me is his. If you can't do that, you can't be his disciple. That's the cost. Pretty high cost, isn't it? Going to Galatians. Notice how Paul put it in chapter 2 of Galatians, verse 20. "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me." Do you see the sacrifice here? It's no longer he who lives. He's denying himself. And he's letting the will of God dominate in his life to where it's no longer he who lives. Christ is now living in him. Well, how are you doing that, Paul? He says, "The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." In the close of the text here, there's a phrase made that I think is vitally important in order to understand repentance. We pointed out to you that you got to come to the point of faith by hearing the Word of God. Faith in who Jesus is and what he's done for you. Once you have gotten to that point of faith, you must let the faith now drive and motivate you in your life to where you now live by faith and walk by faith. Living by faith and walking by faith is repentance. It is the process of being a Christian. And what is driving repentance is faith. What you confess is your faith. The reason you're baptized, you're driven by faith. And repentance is driven by faith. The life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God. And again, he talks about by faith what the Son of God did for him. The Son of God loved him, and the Son of God gave himself for him. He believes that by faith, and now he's living by it. That is the process of repentance. Now then, let's look at another definition. Going back to Romans again, chapter 12. We looked at verse 1 in Romans 12. Now we're going to go to verse 2. Because verse 2 also continues defining repentance. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now there's three things I want you to get from this text here. Let's take it and break it down. First of all, you're no longer supposed to be conformed and be like the world. My mother used to have Jell-O molds. And she would take the Jell-O and pour it into the mold and then put it in the refrigerator, and you bring it out and you take the mold off, and the Jell-O would conform to the shape of the mold. We're not supposed to be conformed to the world, to where we're living and acting and looking like them. But we are supposed to be transformed. Sometimes we call it converted. Transformed, converted, changed. A change is taking place, and this transformation, this change that is taking place, is driven by the renewing of the mind. The changing of the mind, the renewing of the mind that is leading to the transformation and changing of the life. But notice the last part of the verse. This is also vitally important. That you may prove. Another translation says demonstrate. That you may prove or demonstrate what is that good and acceptable and perfect, notice this, will of God. Remember, you deny yourself and you're letting the will of God now be seen in your life as you, by faith, are obeying the will of God. Sometimes people miss the whole point and the idea, and they think repentance is just the change of heart. That's part of it. It's the change of heart that leads to the changing of the life. And there is something being demonstrated, shown, proven. John the Baptist would put it this way. He would call it the fruit meat of repentance. That's the old King James. The idea of the fruit meat of repentance, it is the product, the fruit of repentance, the actions of repentance. When you're demonstrating the will of God because you're transformed. Now, I want to go back to the transformation beginning with the mind. As we just read there, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. If you cross-reference this with Colossians chapter 3 and verse 10, and he says, I put on the new man, and notice this, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Here is the same concept of renewing, but we are renewed in knowledge. That means you know something. It's not just wandering, not knowing what to do. You know what to do. You are renewed in knowledge, and you're being renewed according to the image of him. You remember we're talking about conformed? We're no longer conformed to the world. We are conformed to Christ. We are being transformed into the image of Christ, to where it's no longer I who live, but Christ living in me. To where I am becoming more and more like Christ on a daily basis. Repentance is striving to be like Christ. I don't care how long you've been a Christian, you still got a long way to go. And you're always going to have a long way to go. When you come to understand the magnitude of the example of Christ, you got a lot of growth, and still to have the patience of Christ and the humility of Christ and the meekness of Christ and the love of Christ. It is a continual process that you begin when you obey the gospel and you continue growing in this process all the way to the end of your life. It is not something that you do for a few moments whenever you obey the gospel at the beginning and that's it. I come across people sometimes who think, repentance, I did that back there when I obeyed the gospel. And they don't understand exactly the magnitude of what repentance is. It's not something you do for 5 minutes before you're baptized and then never do anything in the future. It is your whole life being changed and transformed into the image of him who created him, into the image of Christ, the image of God. But it is done in knowledge. Again, over in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 23, it says about this. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. What you see in all three of these verses is where it starts is in the mind. Repentance starts in the heart. The changing of the heart, the changing of the mind, which are the same thing, which is going to be culminated in action in the changing of your life. But I want to go back now and look at this concept of knowledge. Going back to Ephesians now in chapter 4, we read the middle of this earlier, and I want to read the verses around it in the context. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard Him and been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus. Now this is the text that precedes the concept of repentance. Let me go back to that. I want you to get this. You learn Christ. Remember what we learned back here in Colossians? In Colossians it says you're renewed in knowledge. Well, what knowledge? It is the truth that is in Jesus. This is what you learn. You remember I talked from Romans 12? No longer conformed to the world. You're transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may demonstrate what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The truth. The mind being reshaped by the Word of God. The heart being reshaped by the Word of God. To where the will of God is now what is controlling your life as you live the will of God by faith and are demonstrating the will of God by faith in your life. That's repentance. Now then, let's go to Ephesians continuing in chapter 4. In verse 22, he says that you put off concerning the former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust. We're going to be getting into this deeper later on, the putting off and the putting on. But I'm wanting you to see here, this again is the transformation. The putting off. Remember, don't be conformed to the world. You put that off. Your former conduct. This is the idea of putting off any sins that I may be involved in. Put them off. If there's anyone here that's going to say, oh, that's easy, they're lying to you. It's just as easy as denying yourself. It's going to take all you've got, all your life. This is not a casual commitment. He goes on, he says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Again, it starts in the mind. But the mind is being reshaped by what you've been taught about Christ in His Word. And he goes on, he says, and that you may put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. And so you're putting off the old man and you're putting on the new man. It is not just stopping doing what's wrong. It is starting doing what's right. A lot of times people think of the word repentance as only, I'm going to stop doing this, and I'm going to stop doing this, and I'm going to stop doing that, I've repented. Okay, you got half of it. Now there's another half. And the other half is start putting on, and start being more and more like Christ, and start striving to conform yourself to the image of Christ, to where it's no longer you who live. It's no longer you. It's Christ living in you, because you've denied your will, and you're letting the will of God now dominate and control. By faith. One more text on this. Romans 6 and verse 4 says, therefore we are buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk, notice this, in newness of life. Okay, when you're being baptized, okay, you confess your faith, and then there's a death that takes place. And the death is the old man. You're putting that life to death. And now, when you come out of the watery grave of baptism, after you've been buried in baptism, you are rising to walk in newness of life. The newness of life that is being driven by the newness of heart. The changing of the heart that leads to the changing of the life. And then finally, again in Romans chapter 6, verse 17 and 18, but God be thanked, though you were the slaves of sin, yet you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered and have been set free from sin. You became slaves of righteousness. The old Bob Dylan song says you got to serve somebody. It may be the devil, it may be the Lord, but you got to serve somebody. Are you going to be a slave to sin? Are you going to be a slave of God? Are you going to serve? Are you going to serve? They obeyed from the heart. Again, the obedience is the fruit of the faith. The obedience is the repentance. They obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which they were delivered. That's the truth of the Word of God. That is the will of God back in chapter 12. To where again you're just simply letting the will of God be now what is controlling your life. You live and walk by faith and you obey by faith. Let's continue now. We read earlier back in Ephesians the concept and the idea of putting off the old man, putting on the new man. Going back to Romans 6, he says, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of the sin might be done away with, and that we should no longer be slaves of sin, for he who has died has been freed from sin. Here he describes the process of repentance as the crucifying of the old man. Those who have been Christians for some period of time, if you will get them to sit down and do something which is actually going to be uncomfortable for them, and that is, think about what you used to be like. And start looking back at how far you have made in your spiritual journey. You will start looking back at your past life and you'll be thinking, was that really me? Did I really do those things in my body? And you will answer sadly, yes. I really said those things. I really did those things. And you will look at your old life as though it's a stranger. Somebody you don't even know. But it was you. You've put that person to death. You've crucified the old man. You've put off the old you. The old Wayne, he's gone. He's not coming back. There are people that knew the old Wayne, and I'm ashamed when I meet them. And they come up to me and they start talking to me like I'm the old Wayne. And I have to tell them, I don't live that way anymore. That man's gone. That man's dead. I'm a Christian now. That's the process of repenting. Because whenever you make this change, it is going to be such a radical change in your life that a whole lifestyle that you become accustomed to that makes up who you are in the world, in your sin, that whole lifestyle is going to have to be let go of to where any sin that you are involved in, you have to cut yourself free from it and put it off. But that's not all of it. It's also putting on. In Colossians chapter 3, in verses 5 through 10, it says, therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all of these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds. Now let's stop right there. Do you see how many times he talks about put to death, put off these, put off the old man? And then he gives a long list of all kinds of sins that I can pretty much tell you this. Everybody here at some time in your life, you were involved in many of these. Because we've all sinned, we've all fallen short of the glory of God. You read that list, you're going to find yourself somewhere in there of what the way you used to live. Hopefully you're not living that way anymore, because if you're living that way now, you hadn't repented. You're supposed to put it off. But notice here the last part of it. Put off the old man with his deeds in verse 10. And I put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. It's not just putting off the old man. That's a big part of it. But now you turn around and now you put on Christ. You put on the new man. And the new man is being conformed to the image of Christ. It's put this way again in Colossians chapter 3. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering. Let's just stop right there. You remember the verse we read earlier back here in verse 10? put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. What we're talking about here is the image of Christ. And that is why I was trying to emphasize to you that repentance is a continual linear process. It is not something that you do just for one moment and then that's it. It is from that moment on to where you have put off the old man when you're obeying the gospel at the very beginning, and the rest of your life you spent trying to conform yourself to the mercy of Christ, the kindness of Christ, the humility of Christ, the meekness of Christ, the long-suffering of Christ. You and I got work to do till we're dead. Repentance is to the grave. It is giving all of your life as a living sacrifice for all of your life. He continues here in Colossians. And he says, bearing with one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. So you put these on. You put on the forbearance of Christ. You put on the willingness to forgive of Christ. And then he says in verse 14, above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And so finally you need to realize you're striving to put on love above all things. Now then, do you understand the magnitude of the cost? Please do not think that being a Christian is simply coming forward and saying you believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and being baptized. Those are important, yes. But there is a cost. There is a commitment. Understand the magnitude of the cost and the commitment. Jesus gave His all for you to be able to be a Christian and receive the gift of God. It is going to take you giving your all, your whole life as a living sacrifice, putting off the old man, denying yourself, and putting on the new man, the changing of your heart to where you are no longer doing your will, but now you're letting the will of God dominate and control your heart and life. And you're submitting yourself to the will of God, letting Him shape you and mold you. And as you become clay in the potter's hand, He will shape you and mold you more and more and more into the image of His Son. To where you may look back at the old man and you think, wow, I really changed. Good! You have truly repented. You have truly repented. But even though you have truly repented in the past, it's not over. It never will be over. When do you stop living by faith? When you're dead. When do you stop walking by faith? When you're dead. When do you stop growing? When you're dead. You continue to grow to where it's no longer you who live, but Christ living in you. And the life that you're living by faith. The Son of God who loved you and gave Himself for you. That's the cost. That's repentance. If you're willing to pay the cost and make the commitment, and you do believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and you're willing to openly confess that, the water is behind me. I don't know if it's warm. It wasn't warm earlier this week, but it may be warm now. We'll baptize you as quick as we can for the remission of your sins. You'll be a child of God. You have made that commitment, the greatest commitment of your life, to give your life to your God. If you're a child of God already and you have gone back in to the old world, and you're starting conforming yourself back to the world, you need to repent. You need to put that off. And you need to get back into submitting to the will of God in your life and being clay in the potter's hand again. We'll pray for you, we'll pray with you, and do the best we can to encourage you. If you're a subject of the gospel call in any way, let us know while we stand and sing the song which has been selected.